Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SB Podcast presenting sponsor, CNG Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want CNG to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get the job done right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. Big thank you to them for jumping in here and sponsoring us. We've really enjoyed it this football season. Let's start by talking about this last week. And right off the bat, the big game, big rivalry game, private school football, Stab and Covenant. And Covenant gets the rare win over the Saints.
Yeah, first time on Stab's football field. And I know that people like to do the, well, throw the record books out kind of thing. But I really thought that Covenant would roll in this one on paper. And Stab really gave him a game. I mean, 12-0, I think, early on. Made that interesting that Covenant had to score late. And this was quite the little battle. And I know how much it meant to both sides. I mean, pride on the line for St. Anne's. And then Covenant, you want to do it on their field so bad. You've never done it. I mean, pretty impressive win. And I know it's it means a lot to them. And maybe potentially, fixes some things playoff-wise. I mean, we'll find out. But, a big one there.
Yeah, Covenant got, we think, maybe got a little, the private school playoff picture is a little bit different ballgame. It can be tough to crack that, the group that's in the top four or five there. But Covenant's in position to maybe do it. They got some help maybe with North Cross losing to Roanoke Catholic. We think that might have helped them a little bit. But we're going to see that once the playoff standings come out this week for them. But, for Covenant, very emotional win to do it without. I mean, we know early in the year, in the preseason, really, Rick Weaver got hurt, and then they lost Donovan Jackson against Fishburne in sort of a dubious play in the end zone towards ACL, kind of whittled it down and made them, not one dimensional offensively, but like maybe one and a half dimensions.
It just takes the engine sort of to drive.
Yeah.
I remember at the Blue Ridge game, Tim Thomas, Blue Ridge's coach, talking about, like, wow, Donovan Jackson, really tough kid to stop. What would that team look like with him and Rick Weaver?
Mm-hmm.
And now what does this team look like without them? I mean, that's two big blows.
Yeah, and you got to give John Henry a Herculean effort. We're going to talk about him a little bit later. But and Seth Wilson, first year as a head coach, and he goes in there and he gets it done against Stab, and he does it without his top two running backs in a run heavy, probably isn't even the right word, mm-hmm. run totally scheme sometimes that they run. And he gets it done, and just tremendous credit to what they were able to do, defensively, what they were able to do offensively and scheme and come up with some things without all the pieces in play. And I think, again, we're looking at a Covenant team that is coming in to, kind of beat up a little bit right here at the end of the year, which is pretty typical for them. And, but they found a way. They found a way to get it done, rally to get it done late. You got to give it to those offensive linemen over there that, kept John Hemme moving forward and kind of kept it all going. So a huge win for Covenant, really exciting for them. And maybe it helps them out when it comes to playoff picture time. So, big win. Also in the private school ranks, Woodbury goes over and beats Benedictine
That's a big, big victory for them.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Woodbury and Benedictine, it's been sort of this little mini rivalry. You know, they had there's certain schools that Woodbury really gets fired up for, like, nothing beats Episcopal. Mm-hmm. But the last couple of years, one of the few programs that's played them tight has been Benedictine. And those are really sort of rough and tough games. Benedictine plays very physically. And, you know, Woodbury wants to come back against, you know, another Richmond school. They had the tough loss to Collegiate. And then they get the job done here. I mean, pretty good game for them. Looked like a better balance of offense and defense instead of just a one-sided offensive affair. I think that's what they want to see, is a little more two-way play like that, and just not have, you know, 700 yards from Will Weidman and, you know, hope to hang on. Yeah. You know, so I think that's a big win for them. And they're starting to gearing up. Like, that Fork Union Woodbury game is looking like it might be pretty fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I know Fork Union's record might not speak so well of it, but they're playing so many good games and close games. I mean, this week against Collegiate, you got to see some of that. I mean,
yeah, it's that's got to be the best one win team around. Isn't one, or they got two now?
Two
now. But that is a really good two win football team. They're dangerous offensively. I mean, it's one of those where it's you never really know what you're going to get because they're playing such difficult teams. But yeah, two wins, and you know, but they're just a better football team than that, and they're going to give Woodbury's going to have a challenge ahead of them. They got this fleet of receivers who's everybody's kind of catching different balls. They almost got it done against Collegiate. Very similar final result, Collegiate and Woodbury. Maybe that's going to be a really tight ball game. So
yeah, that's 2 weeks away. So I think you got Trinity coming up for Woodbury,
yeah,
and then O'Connell coming up for Fork Union. So it'll be interesting to see how they play in those two, if they come out both sort of with wins before they run into each other.
No question about it. So that takes us through most of what was, you know, went on with the private. So the JD kind of had an interesting week. Charlottesville bounced back against Western. They had to have that one, no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting game. Western really coming out, I mean, with Robert Sids at quarterback, you know, great job the way he improvised those first two touchdowns. And they're all, you know, Western's running some trick plays with the halfback pass on a fourth down. And, yeah, I thought it was really interesting the way Western came out and just controlled the clock, tried to really bottle Charlottesville up. They did a good job. Charlottesville does a great job of just not panicking. Stick with it, grind it out, and things will happen. And, you know,
an evolutionary change, by the way, for Charlottesville, too. They haven't necessarily always been that kind of squad that could bounce back from something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think you have to throw out the playbook because you're down 14-0 and go crazy and start whipping the ball around the field, that you start doing things some things that are not your MO.
Yeah, something out of character never gets you anywhere.
They just waited for it. I mean, Sabias Foley had a very good game, but it wasn't the type of game that we're used to seeing him. I mean, he was kept out of the end zone. That's very different compared to most of his other games. But, you know, it's about your teammates next to you stepping up. Rakeem Davis with a huge game. Trey Durrett with a huge game. And
talk about that Drake catch, man.
One-handed, it bounces off his chest. I mean, you know, it was a bomb. Yeah, I think it was 33 yards, something like that.
Awesome.
Great play inside the pylon. Yeah, just really good concentration. But, yeah, they go from 14 down to all of a sudden up 28-14. And, you know, late in that game, Western makes it interesting again. And then Charlottesville answers with a kickoff return. That was huge. So, yeah, I think with Charlottesville coming up with Louisa next week, what they have to do is you can't have that 14-0 start against Western. You
absolutely
can't,
not.
Can't be caught asleep. And I'm not saying that's what happened. I thought Western defensively did a great job of bottling Charlottesville up. They got an early turnover, and that made a big difference. But, yeah, kind of a weird game the way it played out. It was just so to and fro. But also kind of what you would expect from these two programs, the way that they've sort of played each other the last, you know, 5 and 6 years. We'll see. I mean, Western's sort of in an interesting position, too, as we talked about a one-win team that still has something to play for, and we'll mm-hmm. get to that later as well.
And then you look at Louisa Orange. You know what that rivalry game means to those two schools, to those two communities. And Louisa pulls away. They pulled away, you know, in that first half. A couple of good strikes by Orange, but yeah, they seemed to maybe get some momentum when they had an onside kick, but then it stalled out. Louisa comes right back and hits Joe Whalen for a big touchdown, and it was sort of off to the races from there. But it was my first look at Louisa. You'd seen him a bunch of different times, and I think I texted you and said, like, hey, they run a no huddle all the time. That is it's a big piece for them because, you know, we know what kind of methodical team that Louisa is going to be, and they're not really, like, hurrying up, really. They're taking their time still, but when they go no huddle like that, it makes it difficult to make changes.
Substitutions, yeah.
Yeah, and so you can wear teams down, and then they start to lean on you, and then one leg of the stool kind of falls apart, and then they're just leaning on you, and everything's falling down. And it seems like that's what happens. Like, it's like suddenly that, you know, we always hear that, like, a good power running team, 4-yard runs or 3-yard runs in the first half quickly become 7 and 15 and 20 in the second half. And that definitely seems to be what happens. And they take advantage of that with the no huddle.
Yeah. And the depth that we've talked about that a lot. So when you're running no huddle, you can do that with Joe Whalen for one series and then Raekwon Jones for another. And then
that did seem to be, it did seem to be sort of strung together, that it would be like 2 or 3 Raekwon Jones runs and then it'd be 2 or 3 Joe Whalen runs. And it does seem like they're like platooning in the middle of what they're doing offensively. And I don't know. It's just, to me, that makes, you know, we already knew what people were facing defensively, but then when they're sitting there and they're wearing you down, any guys that you've got there playing two ways, you're going to be worn out that, you know, from any game. But when they're playing that kind of series of football, that's just, that style is devastating. I mean, a physical.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you pair that with as physical a defense as we've seen in years in the Jefferson.
A physical shutdown defense paired with, like, that kind of offensive attack. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's not a lot of really good answers when you play Louisa. There's not anything obvious. You know, I think that, you know, Orange maybe showed some vulnerability on the back end by attacking them vertically. But at the same time, like, David Sharp had 2 picks, and they only, you know, scored well below their average. Orange did, and I think that, you know, so if that's what you're hoping for on a vulnerability, I'm not feeling too great about that. And the other thing too is, like, you got to max protect just to get to that, because if you know, they know that a team is going to just assault, you know, take it and kind of try and go vertical like
that.
Yeah,
you just pin your ears back and get after it.
Yeah, and it looked like that was what worked, is they had it quick. But, like, if they're bringing Brandon Smith and Joe Whalen and those guys at linebacker, you know, I don't know if that's a great answer either. So if the vulnerability is like, hey, sometimes you can hit it on the back end, but sometimes they pick it off, I think any high school team could live with that.
Yeah.
And Caleb Turner's a pretty darn good cover guy too. So, again, if that's a weakness – okay, I guess.
Well, and you hear Coach Fisher talking about it after the game. Like, yeah, we know Orange is faster, and we knew that they were going to do that. So?
Yeah, I mean, it does come down to, like, how many times, you know, they're going to have to run into a team. You know, like, I mean, I guess Monacan whips around a little bit. I think Dinwiddie, who's also in their region, really is more the run squad. But
it's going to take a really good receiving core with a really good offensive line and a really good quarterback behind it. I mean, this...
It's going to take a really good football team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be tough. And, like...
And that's to score on them.
Yeah.
That's not to just win the ball game. That's
you've got to turn around and try and stop them. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be in a shootout with this team either.
And I think that explains, like, so what we're seeing this year is a team that... We've seen some undefeated teams in the JD. Louisa did it in 2010. But the dominance that they're showing, I mean, you can go back and look... The closest thing I think I can come up with is maybe Powhatan in 2011. But even then, they win in a late game against Monticello. Some interesting plays that are going on. I know Monticello thought some interesting officiating. But that 2011 run that Powhatan made when they first joined the JD, that was
a really good
team that had it on both ways. Ray Brown and the gang. So maybe that's the closest
thing. They were not doing this.
No, and that's 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, what Louisa's doing to this district, I mean, who do you put at the number 2 spot? You know, is it Monticello? We saw what we did to them. If it's not Monticello, is it Albemarle? We saw what we did. Like, it's the same thing. I mean,
yeah.
They're just putting up 60 spots, and there's nothing anybody can do about it.
No question about it. So... super fun. They get, we're going to talk about it a little bit later. They get a really big test this week, but it's anyway, we'll dive into it. But let's do awards for this week. And we want to start with the CNG Road Grader of the Week. And that goes to a Monticello guy who's been a fixture for them for a couple of years now, Danny Talbert at guard. He's not really undersized, but he's a smaller guy, a good technician who really kind of takes care of things. And what he was able to help, you know, with the rest of that unit do this week was pretty incredible. 189 on the ground for Jerick Ayers, and 3 touchdowns. 172 on the ground for Kevin Jarrell and 3 touchdowns. That's a heck of a rushing performance that they were able to put together.
Yeah, and they did a lot of it in the edge, and at guard, he sort of has to kick out and seal some things off there. And
he washes guys down really well, too. And yeah. He can execute whatever they're looking for. He seems to be the kind of guy who can make it work.
Yeah, I mean, so you mentioned he's not the tallest guy, but he's a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
He's strong. You don't want to run into him. He's going to mangle you.
Yeah.
Great job for Monticello. And that's the one where you wanted to see them. Like, I don't think that they were too nervous about that Powhatan game, but you don't want to have a hiccup coming off that Louisa game. And they just came out and ran it down their throats and really sort of reestablished what they had done the previous, you know, to get to 6-0.
Early in there, yeah.
And I think that's a really good sign for Monticello, not putting too much into just one game that where things didn't work out that well for them. Kudos to that offensive line. And then Talbert, you know, he's been doing it for a while for them. It's just sort of, he's been the glue there. He's been healthy. It means a lot.
I think if I remember right, just from working on a couple of different stories about Kevin Jarrell, he's been playing with him for a while. He's been blocking for him for a while. And I think that when you get that kind of cohesiveness, he's clearly got a lot of trust and belief in Jarrell, and he takes care of business. And Danny Talbert, CNG Road Grader of the Week, easy pick when you throw up that much rushing offense. That's, you know, the offensive line plays a role in it at that point. Mm-hmm. So, congratulations to Danny. Offensive player of the week, got to go with John Hemme over at Covenant. 5 touchdowns in that game. I think John Blake said it after the game. Staff coach said it. Yeah, John Hemme just took that game over. 5 touchdowns, 115 on the ground, another 122 through the air. He was 4-7, really efficient, and comes up with the big plays when they had to have it. You know, we've talked about Hemme a little bit before. We know how important he is because we saw when he got knocked out against Blue Ridge that things didn't really fit together like they did.
Yeah, I mean, they're just so used to him. And then I think without Jackson, his role obviously becomes even more important because who's going to run it up the middle? Yeah. I mean, you have the Sankers on both sides, and you can do a lot of edge rushing with them, find a way to get them in space. But somebody's going to have to get in the trenches and run it up the gut. And I thought Hemme did a really nice job of that. And, you know, that's always that's sort of a level of leadership. We've seen it from Jarrell this season. When you see your quarterback just going up against middle linebackers and plowing through them, what that does for your offensive line, what that does for the players blocking, they just get so fired up about it. Like, when there's something about it when it's the quarterback hitting guys in the middle. I think it means a lot.
Yeah, John Hemme, a long line of physical Hemmes over there. The guys, you know, his brothers, and they just play really physical, hard football. They don't quit on you. And he had every ounce of what he had. He laid out there against Stab. Again, 5 TDs, 115, really impressive performance. Then we flip over defensive player of the week in a game that didn't have very much defense. A big play defensively.
Yeah, I mean, Mitchell Temple comes up with a fumble that really sort of, I wouldn't say turned the tide, but it just sort of opened the floodgates for Charlottesville there as Rakeem Davis and Trey Durrett got going. But then the other big one, I mean, I guess we'll sort of stuff special teams into the defensive side of the
Absolutely,
ball.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because it is. When Western makes that a one-possession game, Mitchell Temple takes the ensuing kickoff all the way back, 85 yards, and he had one early in the game called back. I mean, he had quite a few good returns, but he would have had 2 if there had been no flags. But I thought he did a really good job there. You know, Charlottesville, defensively, they had a lot to sort of figure out because they're breaking down a tape of a quarterback that wasn't playing there before. I mean, they're expecting Derek Domek, and you get Robert Sims. It's just a different game for them. But that fumble recovery was big, and that really sort of switched things up for Charlottesville. Their defense just played much better from then on.
The, I mean, you really got to respect, you know, Charlottesville, they face a very tough defensive task this week, but they've gotten, you know, they've seen some guys improve. Jashaun Bradford Carter, he's been making all kinds of plays for them. You know, Isaiah Washington had the, I believe it was him that had the interception.
Yep, he had the interception, yep.
So they've got some guys that are kind of stepping up, and, you know, we're going to see what they're able to kind of, you know, bring to that piece of the puzzle, because that's going to be the key for them, I think. We know what the offense is going to be. How good that defense is, I think, determines what they do in the postseason.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it fascinating, that the end of the season is Charlottesville-Monticello. I think that, like, that's pretty perfect, because you have two teams that have to sort of accomplish the same thing, which is really round things out on the defensive side of the ball. Because both offenses, I mean, they can put up the points. We know that. So show me what you can do defensively. And I think we'll find out of that game, since that's the week before the playoffs, just how good they are. But, yeah, I mean, going into the next week of games coming up, they can find out if they won against Louisa.
Yeah, let's drift right into it. You know, congratulations to Mitchell, Defense Player of the Week for us. But it drifts it in. Charlottesville has to play Louisa this week. And we talked about how difficult it is to figure out and solve and kind of understand what to do against that squad. And that's a very tough challenge for the Black Knights.
Yeah, with Louisa starting out the way they did, there were three games that you sort of circle: Albemarle first, Monticello second, and Charlottesville last. It's worked out in that order. The results in those first two have been very lopsided. I think now at this point people expect it to be lopsided against Charlottesville, and it's going to be up to the Black Knights. I mean, I know they feel like heavy underdogs coming into that. They're going to embrace that role, and they're going to try and come out and prove something. They have a physical ground game. If you can keep Louisa on the sidelines offensively, you've got a shot in it. It just means finding a way to get around that interior defense. I think it'll take a little bit of creativity. I mean, you're going to have to spell guys, and what Charlottesville has is what Orange has, in the sense they've got guys that can flat out fly. Yeah. So when they hit the edge, they have to house it.
Yeah.
And I think Charlottesville can do that. But just how many times can they?
Any little crease, any little opportunity, you have to take advantage, because you're not going to get that many of them against Louisa.
Can't turn the ball over against Louisa. I mean, extra possessions are a killer. You have to play pretty much perfect football. And we've seen teams come out and play strong against Louisa very early on. Albemarle played in that first quarter against them very well. Western all game long. Sort of maybe their best performance of the season. So it can be done. And, you know, Louisa, you have to hope that they give you a favor, and somehow turn it over. But that's going to be an issue. I mean, that's a tough one. It's out in Louisa. That's not the easiest environment for a football game if you're a visiting team.
Not by any means.
So it's going to be a real interesting game and really set the table going forward.
And I think Louisa's defense, at least so far that I've seen, as you know, and gotten a chance to keep up with, has played a lot of read and react football, which I think is, you know, how you play the spread and how you play. You know, a lot of these teams are playing spread that they're playing against. You don't play the option that way. You play it responsibility style football. You go and you plug and you tackle everybody. You guard, you know, you mark who you mark. And I think that's what it requires. And the great thing is that they play against that sort of misdirection based offense in practice sometimes. That's a big piece of the puzzle for them.
Both these teams will be prepared for each other because they're running up against similar offenses in practice.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we know the wrinkles are different and the pieces are different, but like the way you defend them really isn't, you know, that dissimilar. I mean, you go like, hey, look, you've got that guy, you've got that guy, and then you attack. And I think that's how you have to play responsibility football against a single wing. You have to play responsibility football against the option. So maybe that gives both teams, maybe that cancels each other out on some level. But it's going to be a tough challenge for Charlottesville. Could be a defining moment of their season, no matter how they respond to it. Because they got to come back and they got to play Monticello. They got to kind of tough two-game stretch here ahead of them. And so no matter what happens against Louisa, they've got to kind of pick it up and keep moving forward. Because and it's postseason time. So big game for Charlottesville and Louisa this week. It's going to be exciting to see how that one shakes out. Then, you know, two teams that don't have a lot of wins between them right now, but it's a big ball game. Western and Fluvanna are facing off.
Who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed that Western Fluvanna in the second to last week of the season would be a make or break playoff wise? Fluvanna possibly in position, if they can figure out a way to win this one, possibly in position to get in the playoffs for the first time in 17 years. Western looking to keep a playoff streak alive. That's it, taking that. I think based on the numbers, it looks like that the winner gets in the region for this one. So certainly a big ball game for both squads. And you said that Sims was doing a lot of good things against Charlottesville, and maybe that's enough to kind of keep that offense rolling.
Yeah, I mean, talking to Coach Redmond afterwards, and, you know, they had a couple inconsistencies that they'd like to work out. But really, I mean, he was working the ball down to getting out of the pocket, creating a lot of plays with his feet, and he finding Jack Lesseman, finding Wyatt Hall, and I thought he did a really good job of that. You know, he picked up some yardage on the ground, too. That was a little tougher than it was throwing the ball. But yeah, I mean, for somebody who hasn't been back there very much, he looked pretty comfortable. So let's see what he does against Fluvanna. Fluvanna, I mean, you're playing for a lot here. I think this is the closest they've been in so long. They have an opportunity to do something that this group of seniors has never really even sniffed this territory. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can only imagine how much it means for that group of seniors.
Yeah, I don't know who Fluvanna, who you got, who you can call, like, who, whatever. Everybody needs to be healthy. Everybody needs to play. This is a big ball game for Fluvanna. This is a big game for Fluvanna County football, the program itself. There's no question about it. And I think that, you know, whenever you see Fluvanna sitting in possible playoff position, you know, they've got to take advantage because it just doesn't happen very often. So I don't know who it is, who you can call, what game plan you can come up with, but it's time to pull out all the stops in this one for Fluvanna.
Yeah, and it's not going to be easy because Western's defense has shown that they can adjust to just about anybody. They're the only team that hold Louisa under 30 points.
Tough task.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be...
Fluvanna played some good football early against Almar.
And that's a promising sign. I mean, that first half is very close. So maybe they see the writing on the wall there, too. That you look at that Almar game and say, okay, we got to be good here to be mm-hmm. good against Western.
No question about it. So big ball game out there. Big ball game for Charlottesville and Louisa. And we're going to be keeping track of all of it. We're really getting into the home stretch here. A lot of playoff stuff. We'll have a lot of playoff standings and stuff coming up on the website this week. And we really appreciate you listening and coming along with us. Thanks a lot.